in the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are in tune to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches on FM 94.7.
Welcome to Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee. I'm Steve Schwetz, and together we're traveling through the whole Word of God in 5 years. Before we jump right into our current study in the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians, though, here's Dr. J. Vernon McGee with a quick introduction to get us going.
Well, we find ourselves today back in the New Testament. We have now finished 2 Chronicles, and it's our custom when we finish a book or two in the Old Testament, move to the New Testament and take a book there. So we're taking 1 Corinthians, for we had come that far. We finished Romans last time we were in the New Testament. So we move forward on two fronts, the Old Testament and the New Testament, and we conclude the five-year program of the Bible with the last book of the Old Testament and then the last book of the New Testament, so that we attempt to weave the two together and try to show the importance of the Old Testament. We've had so many letters from people who have actually said they never heard a message on the Old Testament before. And it's hard for me to believe that a preacher could preach and never preach from the Old Testament. And it's very important. The New Testament, of course, is the place where we eventually come, and that's where we are now. And we are in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, and we'll begin with verse 1.
Well, I'm excited, aren't you? It's going to be a great study, so let's pray for and with each other as we begin. Father, bless the teaching of your word. Give us eyes to see you at work and hearts eager to apply what we learn. We give you our full attention now. In Jesus' name we pray. Here's our study in 1 Corinthians with Dr. J. Vernon McGee on Through the Bible.
Now today, friends, we come to one of the very practical epistles. Very candidly, I think maybe that's a false division to say Romans is a doctrinal epistle and Corinthians is a practical epistle. I don't think that that kind of a division will hold all the time because of the fact that the epistle to the Romans, I trust many of you found it practical. And there's a great deal of doctrine in this epistle to the Corinthians. And this is another great epistle and one that is, I'm afraid, neglected a great deal today. Now, this epistle here is an epistle we should know something about the place to which it was addressed and the circumstances that it was written in under. The city was Corinth. Corinth, as I have put in my notes that many of you have, and I'm reading now, carnal Corinth was the sin center of the Roman Empire in Paul's day. It was labeled Vanity Fair. Its location was about 40 miles west of Athens on a narrow isthmus between Peloponnesus and the mainland. It was a great commercial center of the Roman Empire, with three harbors, of which two were important. Lucium, about 1.5 miles to the west, and Cenchrea, about 8.5 miles to the east. It was on this isthmus, and of course today a canal has been put through there, and Corinth is no longer an important city. And in fact, it's been lost for years. But I'd like to add to that introduction today some more information. In Paul's day, there were about 400,000 inhabitants there. When Greece was independent, it was ahead of the Achaean League. And in 146 B.C., the Roman general Mummius, he took this city, destroyed this city, and for a century it lay desolate. And then 100 years later, in 46 B.C., The Emperor Julius Caesar rebuilt it and its former splendor returned. It was situated on this well-known isthmus that we mentioned, and the commerce of the world actually flowed through the two harbors here at the city of Corinth. The population consisted of Greeks, Jews, Italians, and a mixed multitude, sailors, merchants, adventurers, and refugees from all quarters of the Roman Empire filled the streets. Here was held a perpetual vanity fair. The vices of the East and the West met and clasped hands in the work of human degradation. Religion itself was put to ignoble uses. The Greek goddess Aphrodite had here a magnificent temple in which 1,000 priestesses ministered to a base worship. And by the way, friends, these 1,000 so-called priestesses actually were nothing in the world but prostitutes, and sex was a religion there. Corinth, very frankly, could teach this generation something about sex, but this generation, I think, knows already enough about it, and we're overwhelmed with it ad nauseum today. Now, there's something else that we should note here. Not only was religion debased, but Greek philosophy was in its decay, and there were just endless discussions. And you notice when Paul arrived there, the thing he said, I determined not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This was a city given over to nothing in the world but to pleasure and debauchery and drunkenness. In fact, they coined a word in the Roman Empire, and the word was to Corinthianize. And when you would Corinthianize, that means that you went the very limit. Now, Paul came here on his second missionary journey. He came here on his third missionary journey. In fact, it was the terminus. He spent a great deal of time in Corinth, the first time, 18 months there. And you will remember he met Aquila and Priscilla here. They had been driven out of Rome, a Claudian edict, that is, the Emperor Claudius. And Suetonius, the Roman writer, tells us that the reason they had to leave was because of the disturbances over Christianity in Rome, or it was a wave of anti-Semitism. Now, Paul came to Corinth. He preached in the synagogue, and as usual, there was generally a riot. Paul always had a riot, a revolution, and a revival everywhere he went, and certainly Corinth was no exception. And we are told that he spent a great deal of time here. But on his third missionary journey, he got bogged down in Ephesus, and it was a good place to bog down because he did his outstanding work in Ephesus as a missionary. Probably that area more thoroughly evangelized than any other. But it caused the Corinthians to become disturbed, and they were baby Christians, and they were urging him to come. So he wrote a letter to correct some of the errors that had come into that church. And they had certain questions that they had wanted to know about, political questions, religious questions, domestic questions, questions about heathenism and morality, and all of those. And so Paul wrote a letter, and that letter apparently we do not have today. And then there were more reports brought to him, and they became more insistent. Paul sat down and wrote. What we have today is 1 Corinthians, the one we're going to look at. And then we find that Paul then later on wrote the second one. Now we have in this first epistle, and this is very important for us to know, we have the supremacy of Christ, the lordship of Jesus. Oh, that's important because that's a solution to the problems. And you have here that he is the solution to correct the moral, social, and ecclesiastical disorders. And you have here also the true doctrine of the resurrection. That makes this epistle tremendously significant. And that's the epistle that we're going to enter now. I'd like to give you the division that I have made of it. And if I did it over again, I would make another division, or at least I would break it up just a little, What we should have here really is the three major divisions. You have the salutation and thanksgiving in the first 9 verses. Then you have concerning conditions in the Corinthian church. And in that section, Paul deals with carnalities. And then we find that when you get to chapter 12, Paul talks about spiritualities. And these spiritualities are far more important than the carnalities. But the very interesting thing is, and I think probably we ought to make that statement here, is this, that 1900 years ago, the church in Corinth was beset with problems. They lost sight of the main objective, and they had gotten away from the person of Christ, and they were overwhelmed by these problems. Now today, the contemporary church is likewise beset with problems, and it's almost shocking to discover that the problems of the church are the same as they were at Corinth 1900 years ago. And I believe that the real problem today is that we've lost sight of the centrality of Christ crucified. We've lost sight of the lordship of Jesus Christ. That was the problem here, and we're going to see it as we get into this epistle. And probably we ought to get into the epistle. Now we open with the salutation and thanksgiving that Paul gives us here in the first 9 verses. And by the way, this is a very wonderful section that we're getting in here. Now let me begin. And if you have your Bible, I hope you'll follow along. I'm reading now verse 1, chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. Now, will you notice that the little verb to be is in italics? That means it's not in the original. And it should be, Paul called an apostle. That means this is the kind of an apostle he is, a called apostle. God called him. The Lord Jesus Christ waylaid him on the Damascus Road. The Spirit of God taught him off yonder in the desert of Arabia. He is a called apostle, and this is the kind of an apostle that he is. And we'll see that again in Galatians. And he's an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. And the will of God is what made him an apostle. That is the important thing, and it's wonderful today to be able to say, I'm where I am, and I'm doing what I'm doing because of the will of God. Is that your situation today? If you can say that, I don't need to add, you're a very happy, joyful Christian. And you're not only a happy, joyful Christian, but you're one that is well-oriented into life. You have no frustrations. Oh, you have these little things that come up. But down deep underneath, there is that tremendous satisfaction. Paul could say here, he's an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. Sosthenes was with him, and he was sending the message. Apparently, he'd brought the message from the church, and now he's going to take it back, and he's the one joining with Paul in this. Now, it's under the church of God, which is at Corinth. The important thing to note, it's the church of God, here is its call, because he is the one that is the architect. Under the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Now, the church is at Corinth, but it's in Christ Jesus. And the address is not important, but the person of Christ is all important. What does it mean to be a Christian? It means to be in Christ, as we've stated before. And whether you're at Los Angeles or at Corinth or at Ephesus or at New York City, that is incidental. The important thing, are you in Christ Jesus? Now he speaks here, sanctified in Christ Jesus. Now, sanctification is used in several different ways, as we saw in Romans. There is positional sanctification. That's the position we have in Christ. And when sanctification is joined to God the Father, or God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, it's generally positional. But when it's connected with the Holy Spirit, then that is practical sanctification. You'll find a little later on in this epistle that Christ has been made unto us sanctification along with wisdom and righteousness and redemption. He is our sanctification. You see, you're not going to heaven, friends, until you're perfect. And I'm not either. And you want to know something, I'm not perfect, not even near it. Fact of the matter is, if you knew me like I know myself, you'd turn the radio off. But wait a minute, don't turn it off, because if I knew you like you know yourself, I wouldn't speak to you. So let's just stay connected here, if you don't mind. And sanctification is a position we have in Christ, and if you've trusted Him, He's been made over to you, your sanctification, and you're as saved right now as you'll be a million years from today, because you're saved in Christ and you can't add anything to that. But there is a practical sanctification, and that is something that varies for some. These Corinthians, they don't sound like sanctified saints, but they are, because they're sanctified in Christ Jesus. But the work of the Holy Spirit wasn't very much in evidence in their lives. Now they're called not to be saints, because again, to be here, the verb is in italics, they're called saints. Now just as Paul is a called apostle, we're called saints. That's our name. You do not become a saint by what you do. You become a saint because of your position in Christ. And the word saint actually means set aside to God. Every Christian should be set aside to God. For instance, those old beat-up pans and vessels in the tabernacle, later in the temple, they were called holy vessels. Holy? Yes. They were for the use of God. And a child of God is a saint, or holy. On what basis? Well, he's for the use of God. That is, we ought to be for the use of God. But this is a position that we have. We are called saints. And you're not a saint by what you do. Your position in Christ. And mankind's divided up between the saints and the ain'ts. And if you're ain't in Christ, you're an ain't. If you're in Christ, you're a saint because of your position. Now, we're told here that called saints with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. And I could change this around just a little and say, with all that in every place, both theirs and ours, who call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now he uses his usual introduction, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace, these two great words, and we've dealt with them several times before, and we will be dealing with them again. And in this epistle, I'd like to pass by them because there's some other things we want to emphasize. Now he says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you. And the word by here again should be in Jesus Christ. You see, it's in Christ that we have all of these blessings, blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ. In the heavenlies, in Christ. That is the place of blessing for you. And actually, it should be here, Christ Jesus. And somebody says, is that important? Well, it was to Paul. Paul tells us he never knew him after the flesh. He never knew the Jesus who walked this earth in the days of his flesh. I think he saw him. I think he was present at the crucifixion. He saw the resurrected Christ, and to Paul, he was always the Lord of glory. And in most of his epistles, you will find that it should be Christ Jesus, and it should be here, Christ Jesus. Now, will you notice that in everything ye are enriched by him, and it should be in him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. And this is what Paul is talking about. over in Colossians 3:16 when he says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Now, I can't sing. How am I going to get by? Well, if I can't sing it, I can say it. And that means the Word of God, by the way. There are several denominations that sing the psalms. I think you could sing the whole business from Genesis to Revelation if you could sing. I can't sing. But it's to have the Word of Christ in our hearts. That's the most important thing. And friends, that does not necessarily mean to memorize it. That means to obey Him. That's the important thing. Christ is in your heart, you're obeying Him, and you're thinking upon Him. He occupies your mind and your heart. Some of the meanest little brats that I have ever met are those that have memorized over 100 verses of Scripture. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't memorize Scripture, because there's some mean brats that memorize it. Just simply means just to memorize Scripture is not really the answer, and it doesn't mean to hide it in your heart like that. You hide it in your heart, my friend, when you obey Him, when you think about Him, when you are occupied with Christ, and that is the solution of our problems. When He becomes the Lord of your life, it'll solve many of your problems, and that's what Paul's going to talk about in this epistle. Now he says in verse 6, "Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no guilt, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now he intimates here one of the problems that the church was having. They were very carnal, and they'd gone off in just one gift here. And Paul, just at the very beginning, he says, "I don't want you to come behind in any gift." And it's just not one gift. There are many gifts. And I want the church to have all these gifts manifested in the church, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, that means to be occupied with Him, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless. Now, that doesn't mean faultless, because there'll be somebody else going to find fault with you, but you can be not worthy of blame, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the day of our Lord Jesus Christ is not only today, but it's that day when He's going to come and take His church out of the world. And Paul will talk about that in this epistle also. Now we've come to a good stopping point here, because we're going to look at the heart trouble of this church. And by the way, I have a notion it's the heart trouble of your church and my church today. So until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Heart trouble. When you have physical heart trouble, your doctor can prescribe a plan of action. What about spiritual heart trouble? We'll find out next time what God prescribes for heart trouble in your church and also mine. Something that you can do today for heart trouble is find out what kind of heart pleases the Lord. Dr. McGee wrote a great booklet called Living the Christian Life God's Way. You can read it or download it from ttb.org. You'll find it under the Resources tab. It's based on Romans 8. This practical booklet provides the key for living a life that's godly and surrendered to Him, a sure cure for heart trouble. And while you're at ttb.org, there are a couple more resources I'd suggest checking out. The first is our new Bible companion for 1 Corinthians. I love every single one of these Bible companions, and 1 Corinthians is no exception. It's got all the things that you've come to love from our Bible companions, including a synopsis of Dr. McGee's teaching, a link to the Bible passage we're studying, and Dr. McGee's full audio study, and some great reflections to ponder on your own or with your small group. You can download it today and maybe send it to a friend if you'd like to invite them to join you on the Bible bus. Now, also at ttb.org, you're going to find another resource that's a perfect complement to our study of 1 Corinthians. It's our booklet, The Cross Divides Men. Now, this is a study of 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. Dr. McGee leaves no middle ground when it comes to the cross. You either believe in the power given to us through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, or you count it all foolishness. There are only two choices. So bolster your faith and share this important truth with family members and friends when you visit ttb.org and download this important message today. If you need help finding any of these resources online, or if you'd like to be in touch, just call us. 1-800-65-BIBLE is the number. You can email us as well at BibleBus@ttb.org. You can always write to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C, 6B1. Next time, we're back on the Bible Bus in the book of 1 Corinthians. Read ahead and get ready for another great study with Dr. J. Vernon McGee. To view or download our reading schedule, it's simple. Just go to ttb.org/schedule. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here saving a seat just for you. Grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, whom God uses to take the whole word to the whole world.
Listening to WWBC Coco Merritt Island 1510 AM as well as W234BI Coco Rockledge 94.7 FM W264AS Rockledge Melbourne Palm Bay Indian Atlantic Indian Harbor Satellite Beach 100.7 FM and W260CL Coco 99.9 FM.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is worthy of all honor and praise. I am Minister Gloria Ross, and I thank you for tuning in to the broadcast of New Life Assembly of God. We are located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our telephone number where you can reach us is 321-255-6999. Our service times start at 11 o'clock a.m. every Sunday. Now stay tuned to the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, and we want to tell everyone out there that the King is coming. This is what we want to speak about today. The King of Glory is coming. And are you ready to meet your God? He is the one that's coming back for the church. And the churches today has compromised with the world. What they've done is that it's so hard to try to distinguish between a child of God and folks that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, because the church has shook hands with the world. But the Lord Jesus Christ says that he's coming back, and he's coming back for a church without a spot, wrinkle, or blemish. He's coming back for a holy church, a glorious church, a mighty church, one that has done everything and followed his orders. Glory to God. And I want to ask you today, are you looking for his return? Because are your garments clean? Are they spotless? Are they white as snow, covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? The King is coming, the King of Glory. Repent of your sins. Get your life right with the Lord Jesus Christ. Honor him. Call upon his name. Ask him to cleanse you and to wash you from all of your sins. My God, the King is coming. The Word of God tells us clearly that he's coming back for those that are looking for him. Praise God. He's coming back the second time without sin, looking for those who are looking for him. Are you ready? I asked a question today. Are you ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ? The signs of the times are all staring us in the face. Prophecies have all been fulfilled. And I come to tell you that the King of Glory is coming back. Apostle Paul spoke to us, glory to God, in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16 through 18. Glory to God. He said the King is coming. The Lord himself. Praise God. And I want to tell you today, get your life right. Get ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. So many people today, my God, it's so hard to determine the church from the world. The church from the world. I'll say it again. The church from the world. The church looks like the world. They're trying to, my God, they got to wake up. Wake up, church. Wake up. Get your garments spotless. Get your garments white as snow. Be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Hear the voice of the Almighty God, the one that's coming back to cleanse, to call us home to glory. Glory to God. Minister, glory to church. Looks just like the world. It's a sad situation. They've compromised. They've compromised with the world. They're trying to satisfy the world and try to satisfy the things of God. But I want to tell you today, get your life right. I said get right, because the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. And he's coming back for those that are looking for him. We don't know what hour, we don't know what time, but we do know that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back for his church, for his body. Praise God. Are you ready? I said, are you ready? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb, in the soul cleansing blood, the blood that washed us and cleansed us? All that took place at the cross of Calvary. My God, get right. Get ready. I said get ready and be ready, because the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. Praise God. And we don't know when he's coming back, but we know that he's coming back. And when he returns, glory to God, we will be like him. for we shall see him as he is. And if you're not washed, if you're not cleansed, my God, in the blood of the Lamb, my God, you won't be able to go back with the King of Glory. My God, I tell you today, get ready, get ready. Repent of your sins. I said repent. Everybody, repent. Repent of your sins. Call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask him for forgiveness. Ask him to wash you and to cleanse you from all filthiness of the flesh. And look at what's going on in the world today. The church has shook hands with the world, looking like the world. But the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ has cleansed itself through the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he's coming back. Praise God. I said he's coming back. Be ready to meet the great and mighty God, the one that's able, the one that has cleansed us, the one that has endured the cross. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one. Stop looking for a bigger church. Stop looking for a big job. Stop looking for finances. Stop holding on to mammon. But I want to tell you today, look to the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many folks today that are looking for the signs of the Antichrist. But I want to tell you today, you better be looking for the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Glory, the one that is coming back. My God, coming back for his body. Praise God. And his body is not going to be connected with any sinful activity. His body is not going to be connected to anyone that is not like him. Praise God. Praise God. Get ready. Repent. I tell everybody out there, and even us that behind this microphone, we must repent. We must repent of all of our sins and everything that's been done contrary to what the Word of God said, and look for the King of Glory. My God, he's coming back. He's coming back for his church. Are you ready? I said, are you ready to meet the King of Glory? The one that called all things, the one that holds all things in his hands, the one that is able to do all things. The King of Glory is coming back. Praise God. The signs of the times are at hand. They're staring us in the face. All prophecies have been fulfilled unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. My God, folks are doing whatever they want to do and saying that they are ready. But I want to tell you today, are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are they washed in the blood of the Lamb? Glory to God. He's coming back. I say he's coming back. Repent of your sins. Everybody out there, the bishop, repent of your sins. Deacons, repent of your sin. I don't care how large the church is. I want to tell you today, repent of your sins. Stop being political. And oh my God, call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is able and he's coming back. Minister Glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, King of Glory. He's coming back. Early this morning, message came to me, the King is coming. Hallelujah. I say the King is coming. The King of Glory. I'm not talking about some man-made king. I'm talking about the Creator. The Creator of the universe. The one that created all things. The one that has made all things. The one that know that nothing that's made that was not made by him that's made. The King of Glory is coming back. And he's coming back for his church. He's coming back for those that are looking for him. Praise God. Are you looking for him today? Are you looking for the Lord Jesus Christ? Praise God. Mr. Glory, before we go into anything, I want you to read Hebrew 9 and verse 28. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Oh. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many.
This is what it's saying there. Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. Let me tell you something. The King is coming back. I said the King is coming back. Get ready. I said get ready to meet your God. Repent of your sins. I don't care who you are out there in Radio Land. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, call upon his name. He will cleanse you. He will wash you. And when he comes back, you will be able to go back with him. He is the King of glory. The King is coming. Oh, I want to tell you today, the King is coming. Get ready to meet your God. Hallelujah.
And unto them that look for him, shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation.
What? The second time? He's coming back for those that are looking for him. The church is not looking for him. Oh, you look at the church today and it's a sad situation. Folks are doing all kinds of things. They're compromising with the world. They're ashamed. They don't want to say and talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. They've compromised. They've shaken hands with the world. But I want to tell you today that the Lord Jesus Christ, he's coming back for those that are looking for him. The King of glory. Hallelujah. I said the King of glory. You can sit in your plush office. You can sit there talking about politics. You can tell people about all kinds of things. But I want to tell you that people must be prepared to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you. And he will wash you. He will cleanse you from all filthiness of the flesh. He will save your soul. It is his divine purpose. He came to do just that. He didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And I want to tell you today, the King is coming back, and he's coming back for you. He's going to crack that eastern sky, and I pray to God that you are ready. I pray to God that we all are ready to meet our God. Amen, amen. Glory to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. We don't know what it looks like. We don't know when he shall appear, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The King of glory is coming. Stop compromising. Preach the word of God. Live the word of God. Witness to folks out there in Radio Land or wherever you are. Tell them about the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell them that Jesus saved, that Jesus loves them. I'm telling you, the King of glory is coming back. Praise God. Look at the signs of the time. Look at what's going on. The King is coming. And he's coming back. I pray to God that we all are ready. He's no respecter of person. That we all are ready to meet our God. Repent. Repent of your sins. And ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart. Stop being religious. And have the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So that when he comes back, he's coming back for the true church. The church without a spot or wrinkle. The church that has been washed in the blood of the Lamb. A victorious church. Oh, I'm telling you, the King is coming. Get ready. I said get ready to meet your God. Hallelujah. Isn't that something, Minister Glenn? Get ready to meet our God. Apostle Paul was telling us, glory to God, that he's coming back. Say that the Lord himself, glory to God. But the promises that's been made to us all said, if you believe in God, believe also in me, that in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again. My God. And he said that he'll come again and receive us unto himself, that where he is, we'll be there also. Glory to God. What a promise. I'm telling you, the King is coming. The King is coming. And the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16 to 18, my God, that the dead in Christ, hallelujah, that the Lord himself, matter of fact, Minister Gloria, want to read that? Praise the name of our God.
The Lord himself shall descend from heaven.
Yes, Lord.
With a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God.
Glory to God.
And the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Thank you, Jesus.
Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words.
We're comforting folks with this word. Praise God. Those that are true Christians, those that are washed in the blood of the Lamb, those that know the Lord Jesus Christ, have given their hearts to him, prepared themselves, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, glory to God, the King is coming. And I tell you today, my God, the word tells us that he's coming back. And he's coming back for those that are looking for him. Minister Gloria, you know, a lot of times we look at this, the word of God, and we see the mixture between the catching away of the saints and the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But Apostle Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Let me tell you something. The King is coming. Glory to God. Prepare yourselves to meet the great and mighty God, the one that created all things. Praise the wonderful name of God. The King is coming, and he's coming back for his body. Praise God. And his body is not emaciated. His body is not weak. His body is strong. His body is powerful. It's the true church, the true church of the living God. I cry out today, repent of your sins and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. In the churches today, folks don't talk about sin. They don't talk about everything goes inside these churches. But let me tell you something. You're going to have to give an account unto God. And if when he comes back, you're not ready, you will be left here. My God, get ready. Repent of your sins. I cannot say it enough. Repent. Repent. Repent of your sins. Change your thinking. Change your heart. Ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart and change it, glory to God, so that when the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of glory, comes back, he's coming back for you and for me. Glory to God. You know, Minister Gloria, in Revelation 19, glory to God, I tell you, the word of God tells us that the King of glory is coming back. Hallelujah. Oh, I tell you, we must be ready to meet our God. Our lives must be changed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul was talking about he's coming back for the church. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You can't go back with him unless you look like him. You're going to have to be like him. That's where John was saying that we don't know when he shall appear, but we know that when he shall appear, that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, Paul was saying there, for us to comfort one another with these words, we must tell folks to repent of your sins, get your life right, so that the King of glory is coming. Now, Paul tells us, but then John speaks to us, glory to God, in Revelation 19 and verse 11, glory to God, he said, the King is coming. I saw heaven open, my God. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, this is the second coming. Hallelujah. Praise the name of our God. You want to read that, Minister Gloria?
And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse.
Thank you, Jesus.
And he that sat upon him called Faithful and True.
That's what his name is. He that sat upon him is called Faithful and True. And he does make war. Praise God. Go ahead, Minister Gloria.
And in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as flame of fire.
Good God Almighty. I'm telling you, his eyes are like flames of fire. Praise God. This is the second coming. Are you listening to what I'm saying? The second coming. It's all together. Glory to God. This is why we want to comfort one another with these words. Praise God. Hallelujah. A lot of people say, well, I'm going to wait for the rapture, but I'm going to forget about the second coming. Let me tell you something. Paul's talking about resurrection. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I tell you, when he comes back, he's coming back for a church without a spot or without a wrinkle. My God, are you ready? Repent. All I can tell you is repent. The pulpit needs to repent. The deacon boards need to repent. The choirs need to repent. The superintendents need to repent. Bishops need to repent. We all need to repent of our sins. My God. And get our lives right. If they are not right, get right. Because the King of Glory is coming back. Hallelujah. I say the King of Glory is coming back. The churches today, they look just like the world. They're doing things like the world. And they're saying, well, I'm the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you, God knows them that belong to him. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you today, we pray here, glory to God, that we look like him. That when we are changed, we'll be like him. Glory to God. But I tell you today that the King is coming, and he's coming back for you and for me. Praise God. If our lives are right, if we are ready to meet our God, the Bible tells us that we are to look unto Jesus. We're not to look for a better job. We're not to look for gainful employment. We're not to look for any position in society. We are to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Glory to God, our faith must be in the Lord Jesus Christ and the coming. I said the coming of our great and mighty God. Glory to his wonderful name, the one that endured the cross and despised the shame and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. But I tell you, he's coming back. He's going to leave that throne, coming back from heaven. The Bible tells us that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. He's not coming from the Middle East. He's coming from heaven. Are you listening to what I'm saying? He's coming from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. All of our brothers and sisters that have gone on before us, they are coming back with him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, I tell you, oh, what a glorious, what a mighty, what a powerful day. But I tell you, you got to repent of your sins. If you have not repented, many people are religious. Many people are doing what they want to do and saying that they are serving the true and living God. But I want to tell you today, get right with the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins. Repent. Change your mind. Change your way of thinking. Stop thinking like the world and begin to think like the things of God and what the word of God is saying to us. Repent. You can be inside some building. You can be populated with I don't know how many people. But if you're not hearing the truth of the word of God, my Lord, repent. I say repent and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Get your life right with God. God is not coming back for a religious organization. He's not coming back for folks that are religious. He's coming back for those that have a relationship with him, that have been changed, that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. My God. That's why Paul was telling us this, to comfort one another with these words. And I'm going to comfort you even more because the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. John said, I saw heaven open, and he that's in a white horse. And he that sat upon it was called faithful and true. That's who he is. I said he's faithful and he's true. Glory to God. He's faithful because he says he's coming back for you. Glory to God. And he's true because his words that he speaks is true. Glory to God. Isn't that something? Men's of glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We all must repent. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Change our way of thinking. Think about the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at what it says there, the second coming, the second coming. The first time he came as a little babe, the second time he's coming as King of Kings, glory to God. Lord of Lords, my God, are you ready? to meet your God. He's coming back. He cannot lie. He's coming back. We see the signs of the time at hand, and everything of meeting itself, lining it up with what the Word of God said that it will be. Praise God. Are you ready? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Glory to God. Get washed. I said get washed. Get ready. He repent. Glory to God. Mr. Glory, finish reading that Revelation.
And 19. On his head were many crowns.
Good God Almighty.
And he had a name. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean.
Glory to God. They went with him. He came for the church. And now, at the second coming, the church is coming back with him. Glory to God. I want to tell you, are you ready? Repent of your sins. Stop playing church. Stop compromising. Preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tell folks about God and how good he is and that he came to seek and save us. Glory to God. Repent of your sins and ask God for forgiveness, and he will forgive you. Glory to God. I want to tell you today, my heart is stirred up. Glory to God. Repent. Stop being religious and have a relationship with the true and living God. I'm going to ask my wife, Minister Gloria, if she would just tell folks just a little bit about the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ and comfort you all out there with these soothing words that the Master has spoken through his Apostle Paul.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith. Amen.
Amen. Repent and receive Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. God bless you all out there. Is my prayer, because the King is coming.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Out.
You know, back in the day when we used to have testimony service, my mama would stand up on her feet and she'd throw her head back and sang songs like this. She said, how I got over, how I got over my soul.